Welcome back. I'm Mark Steiner, and this weekend on Saturday, there is One Nation Working Together, a march on Washington, D.C. We have some of the local organizers with here. With us on the air here today, and we'll be talking to them in the next part of this program before we get into the world of stink bugs, why they're here, what to do with them, and it's no relationship.
It's a big deal.
It is a huge deal.
It's a big deal.
But first, we have to take you to WEA traffic and check on the roads and make sure you all get home safe. We'll be right back with our guests. Stay with us.
Support for WEAA is provided by Advance Auto Parts, offering battery installation at Advance Auto Parts.
Traffic service of Advil PM. Problems over in Columbia still with us. Northbound 29 at 100. Looks like the accident there still has lanes closed and major delays up into that Columbia stretch. So give yourself extra time there. We are looking at a bit of a slow go along 32. We've got an accident reported at 29. Now that one's going to affect 32 more so than 29. It looks like accident on the Interloop at Green Spring in the clearing stages. Also just getting word of a problem. Falls Road at Joppa Road. Accident there taking out the right side of the roadway. You're going to find some pretty good size delays because of it. Trying to clear out problems we had along 924 at Bel Air South Parkway. Also Abingdon at Box Hill Road up in Bel Air South. Matt Tacka with Baltimore Area Traffic.
Hello, I'm Mark Steiner, and welcome back. The Mark Steiner Show is made possible by the University of Maryland Women's Health for every stage of a woman's life, offering compassionate care and comprehensive obstetric and gynecological services from routine exams to specialized pelvic surgery. More information at 1-800-492-5538 or www.umm.edu/womencenter, or just call 1-800-492-5538, log on to their banner on our webpage, steinershow.org, and go right to them. We are talking this part of this hour, about the One Nation Working Together March that will be taking place in Washington, D.C., I, along with our crew here, will be broadcasting live from that march for Free Speech TV in the tent right next door, talking to many people for 6 hours. We'll be there with Joe Madison, with Tom Hartman, with Laura Flanders, and many others for Free Speech TV. And you should join us for that, freespeech.org at tv.org, streaming live. We have with us today three of the folks who are organizing that here in the state of Maryland, Anthony McCarthy and I, sitting here on Monday, as we always do together. We have in the studio Fred Mason, president of the Maryland and D.C. AFL-CIO and co-chair of the Maryland Organizing Committee of the One Nation event, Gerald Stansberry, who's president of the Anne Arundel County NAACP and a co-chair of the Maryland Organizing Committee for the One Nation event, and Morgan Menses-Sheets, executive director of Equality Maryland, that are also participating in this march. And all three, welcome. Good to have you with us.
Yes. Thank you.
Hello. Thank you.
Thank you.
410-319-8888 is the number here, 410-319-8888. And as president of the AFL-CIO, the local AFL-CIO in the state and D.C., I had a conversation today at my grandson's soccer game with my first wife. We're really dear friends. And she said she's catching the bus for the march over at Northwest High School. And she said to me, the unions have this together. They give us a free ride, and they're going to give us lunch.
She's getting on the bus.
She's getting on the bus. All right.
So well, actually, this is a very important rally. You know, it's time that the other America really stands up and shows its face. You know, we have seen for the past year, certainly over the past months, a vision of America that we don't believe fully portrays what Americans are all about. And I'm talking about the multiracial, multiethnic, multigender America that believes in moving our whole nation forward, that still believes in that the American ideal is something to be achieved, and that the possibilities and potential for that achievement is certainly in front of us. And we don't want to go back. We don't want to restore this country to some earlier period, because there were some ugly things about the earlier period. There have been some ugly things about the recent past, when we have found millions of hardworking Americans losing their homes, being unable to send their kids to college, find themselves out of a job. We can do better than that as Americans. And we believe that it's time for a committed public
to speak up and encourage those holdovers, if you will, in Congress to actually allow the country to move forward so that we can achieve those changes that we voted for in 2008.
Morgan, let me ask you again, because this is an interesting broad coalition here, and you are part of it.
Yes. Well, you know, Fred mentions the American dream, and, you know, we all do deserve a fair chance to achieve that dream, and that means that we do have to work together, you know, to overcome any divisions and separations, you know, whether it be about race or class or sexual orientation or gender identity or heritage. So this broad coalition is a groundbreaking effort, and I think really reflects the whole country, and we have a story to tell about the work that we're doing around, you know, jobs, justice, and education, and that we each have a role to play in that.
And Fred, Gerald Sellensbury, who I miss, you are president of the Maryland State Conference, the NAACP.
That's correct. Yes, yeah. I think the name in itself, One Nation, says a lot. We have been divided for so long by so many different aspects of government and what you hear from one side of the aisle to the other side of the aisle. And now people are suffering. And I mean people of the United States. We want America to be one nation. We want one America. We think America can be better. We want an opportunity. It's the land of opportunity. Okay? And we feel that we should, at this point, tell everybody, hey, look, you need to come out of here. You can't sit back. We can't turn the clock back. We got to move the clock forward.
I want to ask all three of you, you know, we have watched over the last 6 to 7 months the Tea Party become a great media distraction. They are able to win these elections, these primaries from Republicans, and there is a great deal of energy, and Mark and I do it as well, but a great deal of energy at dissecting exactly what is driving this discontent. They throw a rally. A lot of people come out. But I think a lot of people are asking, is that the most effective use with the activists who are part of the labor movement, the activists who are part of the NAACP, the activists who are part of the LGBT community? Is it the best use of that energy to bring people to Washington as opposed to working in their states to change state legislatures, to push for progressive legislation, and not just legislation in Annapolis, but in Somerset County, in Baltimore City, around states across the country? Is it a better use? Because at the end of the day, what will come out of this One Nation Working Together rally? What will be the practical outcome of inviting all these leaders, activists from the left to the far left, and some in the middle,
moderate as well.
And moderate in the middle as well, to D.C.? Is it to prove a point? What's the outcome, Fred Mason, we'll start with you, that you're looking for?
Well, I think that you raise a very good question, and the answer is that is, in fact, what happens every day and what makes this broad coalition possible. And particularly in the state of Maryland, there are several things that we could look at. One, we could look at the role that labor organizations, community-based organizations, the faith community played in raising and actually establishing a statewide living wage, the first time that any state had done that. We were able to achieve that in the state of Maryland. Secondly, we were the first and only state to pass what became known as the Walmart bill, essentially saying that large employers, over 10,000 people, had to provide health insurance for their employees or pay into a state fund so that we could provide health insurance coverage for, at that time, about 800,000 Marylanders that did not have health insurance. That bill passed because of the participation, because of the coalition effort, again, of labor, community, faith organizations, believing that that was the way to move our state forward. Subsequently, portions of that bill, even though it was overturned by the Fourth Circuit Court, but portions of that bill are now incorporated in health care reform at the national level. So that's what these coalitions do. Some people have raised, well, isn't this just another civil rights march? Well, just another civil rights march actually end up enfranchising millions of formerly disenfranchised people in this country. nobody well, some people may dispute, but most people would agree that passage of the Civil Rights Act, passage of the Voting Rights Act, passage of laws to desegregate public facilities actually moved our country forward and made it viewed in a better light by the world community. So that's the kind of things that movements do.
Yeah, I agree. If you look back to the Reverend King March, it wasn't for that march, things would not have changed today, and no telling where we would be. Okay, one of the things I like to see come out of this march is that the people get energized enough that on November the 2nd, they come out and vote. I think it's time for Congress to hear us, to pay attention to us. I think this march is going to help them realize that we're not, that the Tea Party or any other party doesn't represent the majority. There are people who are looking for jobs, better homes. They want safe homes. They want opportunity. And I think they need to start paying attention to the people, because if they don't on November 2nd, there's going to be some changes in Congress.
Morgan?
Well, I would say just by the fact that that we're all together tonight, this is already bigger than one day, and it will continue to be bigger than one day, because building bridges that, you know, may have existed on a specific bill or before, but this is really a movement. It's not just about demanding change on Saturday, on October 2nd, but it's also about continuing to work together to make real change back here in Maryland. You know, we're looking outside of ourselves and the work that we are already doing on the state level every day. And this will offer, you know, unique opportunities to continue to work together and to be even stronger. And there's a lot of discussion with the economy about jobs, about, you know, education and schools. And we're now able to sit around the table together and have meaningful dialogue about all the different policies that we'll take to really reach those ends. And we each come with our own expertise representing a part of the community, so that when we come together, we can truly represent all of the community. And that is incredibly powerful and will last long after this weekend.
As powerful as I think that is, and then I'll let Mark, is his show after all. I would argue that a lot of cynical people, Morgan, are listening to you and Fred and Gerald, all three people that I, you know, full disclosure, have an enormous amount of admiration for and have worked with on other projects, are listening and saying this one nation really is about energizing Democratic voters for these midterm elections. That it's not about the lawful goals that you, Fred, and Gerald have just outlined.
Well, hopefully that will happen in great numbers. Uh-huh. Hopefully it will happen because everybody, there's no disputing the fact that our nation is at a crossroads. State after state, 29 or 30 governors are up for re-election. And there is, as I heard earlier, this real ideological contest going on in this country, whether this country is going to move forward in a very progressive nature, serve as a real democratic leader in the world community, where the rights of all people are respected, where there's equal justice for everybody, where there's quality education for everybody's children, not just the children of the rich, or whether we are going back to some earlier period where immigrants have one kind of justice, black folks have one kind of justice, white folks have one kind of justice, LGBT people have one kind of justice. That's not the America that we were raised to believe in. We don't want an America where just the rich are able to take a good vacation, where they can dream of sending their kids to college. We can do better than that. And regardless of whether it's health care, education, justice, all of these issues require a legislative solution. And the way that legislative solutions are achieved is by people that we elect. And the way that we elect people is by voting. Right. So for those people who say that voting doesn't matter, it does matter. It matters about the roads in our community. It matters about the quality of our schools. It matters about the quality of our health care. Mm-hmm. So we have to get out there and elect representatives that share and understand our interests.
Let me open the phones here. There are people calling in who want to kind of ask questions about One Nation Together on Saturday. 410-319-8888, One Nation Working Together. And we also want to get information out on the air about how people participate from this listening community and how they can get down there rather than driving themselves. 410-319-8888. Stephen and Waverly, you're on the air.
Yes, hi.
Hi, Stephen.
Hi, how you doing? I want to thank the guests for giving motivating people to go down to Washington, D.C., and actually the organization that I belong to is a part of the coalition, the Job is the Right campaign, part of the Bail Out the People's Movement. And specifically, I want to thank the AFL-CIO Maryland, D.C., Labor Council for allowing unemployed people and the community as a whole, because they have actually provided buses for the community to go down to Washington, D.C. And just to follow up, I agree with what everyone's said. With one thing is that I don't think that we should juxtapose, you know, on the national versus local level, because I think, like everyone said, this is just a stepping stone where it energizes, galvanizing people to come back locally to organize. And I want to invite everyone to, on October 30th, to a People's Assembly that we're having at St. John's Church to actually raise the issues that are affecting us here locally in Maryland, particularly with the youth jail, that $107 million has been diverted, that money should be actually put into education and for jobs. And so I just want to encourage people to come out on October 30th to actually discuss, and that we actually do need alternatives. And I may just one thing, I may disagree, because the way the game is set up these days or whatever, if we don't start building a mass movement that really puts pressure, because the way the game is set up now, regardless, just locally on the local level, that corporations have so much power that one person can veto and everything. So we need to find alternatives to actually implement some of these things.
So I'm curious. It says what you want to have come out of this march. I mean, why? I mean, I understand why that march is there. We wouldn't be covering it if we didn't think it was an important day. But I'm really curious what you think comes out of this, and what comes out of this in terms of when people go home. I mean, one of the things about marches is you go to a march, they're in the news, and if you don't get enough people out there, then they go, well, nobody cares. It wasn't much of a march. Or they inflate the numbers. But at the end of the day, then people forget about it. And they go off and back to their worlds, and there was another march. And then and 10-10, there's going to be the environmentalists. They're not, are going to be marching Bill McKibben. And then on 10-30, you have Colbert and Stewart's march on Washington for sanity. Tell me what you think what's going to come out of this. What is it?
Well, one thing I think it's going to come out of it after the march is over. There are people that are going to come home and find themselves still unemployed. Okay, yeah, they're going to come home and find themselves without homes. And they're going to find themselves, I'm tired of this. They can't feed their families. They cannot you talk about future of their children, and they look at their grandchildren and their kid, and they almost come to tears because of how divided this country has become, and they have been the ones that suffer for it. I think this is going to be the motive effect and the stimulant to say, okay, look, I'm going to do something when I get back. I'm going to make sure my neighbor needs a ride to the polls. I'm going to take them. If they don't understand who to vote for, I'm going to tell them who to vote for. I think that's the way it's going to work out. I really feel in my heart people are tired, and that's why the Tea Party was able to do what they've done, because people are tired and they're getting sidetracked as to what the issues really are. But I think it's time now, and I think this march is going to really bring some people out that the government had not thought about and forgotten about. I think it's time for that to happen now.
Well, I taking this one step beyond, then we'll go back to the phones here, 410-319-8888. When I was thinking about the march taking place next week at 10-10-10, which is Bill McKibben and environmentalists really pushing for this issue. He's the one who brought the solar panels to the White House and tried to get President Barack Obama to put the solar panels back on the White House that Jimmy Carter had on, that President Reagan took off. Sometimes there is a split between environmentalists and certain unions.
Yes.
Over which way to go. And if this is going to be that coalition of hope that put President Barack Obama in office, it goes from right to left and includes everybody. How do you – I was kind of stunned that these two marches are taking place separately, not together. And what significance do you think that is? Now, how do you bridge that gap?
Well, I mean, I think the reason that we call it a coalition is because we do respect the individuality and the identity of different organizations and the major focus. Speaking about the labor movement, one of the things that we do is follow through because our survival is sort of predicated upon that. That when workers are organized in the union, we are there for life. You know, we have to follow through. We have to negotiate contract after contract. And what we will get to know people that are on those buses. We will call on them to engage in other activities, whether it's at the local level, the county level, the city level, or initiatives at the state level. We still have some unresolved issues at the state level in terms of how do we raise needed revenue? How do we make further advances in terms of health care? And we need a committed public to push that through. So a lot of times when folks ask the question about what comes next, they're asking the question in a quantum leap kind of thing, that this one event happens and then we have a quantum leap to some other level. Change oftentimes happens somewhat slower than that, somewhat more imperceptible than that. But change is happening nonetheless. So when there are hundreds of thousands of people in Washington, D.C. on October 2nd that were not there on September 2nd, that is a change. When we go back home and those same people work to determine outcomes of elections, that is a change that is not going to be seen in the same way as October 2nd, but that change is going to happen nonetheless.
Let me go to the phones here, and when I come back to – I want to get Morgan back in this conversation as well, and Gerald Stansberry, and 410-319-8888 is the number here. We're talking about One Nation working together, and Corey, you're on the air.
Well, good evening, and I want to thank my president, Fred Mason, for stepping up to the plate.
That Corey.
And get the alley information out. But I also wanted to encourage us, don't forget about the young people, you know. The young people are highly affected by the unemployment, by the underemployment, and by the things that's happening right now that's going to be continuing our future, so just keep that in mind and just, you know, keep the young people in your consideration.
So let me get another call here. I want to ask you about transportation. I want to bring Morgan back in and talk about how all these kind of union activities and the fight for gay and lesbian rights fits into this march as well, and how and where the unions take this next in terms of organizing and pushing agendas in America. 410-319-8888. Baba, you're on the air. Hi, Bobby, you're on the air.
Yes, hello. Good evening. How are you doing?
Good.
Yes, you and your guest. To me, civil rights is important, but mainly with me, human rights are more important to that. And I believe that Malcolm X said if he was truly American, then you would really you wouldn't have to demonstrate for human rights. I mean civil rights. But since we are, then I congratulate you. I'll be brief and go off with this. Elijah Cummings made it perfectly clear when he gave an introduction that the former governor, Robert Ehrlich, had the worst voting record in Congress when he was over there, which they called the angry white men there. Now they're angry about something else. Had the worst voting record. And it can be, you can go on the Internet and find it out. On the civil rights movement, the worst voting record. And also now, when he had his program, he was aligned with the Tea Party and was behind the Tea Party, him and his wife. And also, when I come to human rights, we had a person named Nelson Mandela that suffered under human rights. And Bob Ehrlich said that he never should have been let out of prison. This is what Bob Ehrlich said for all of Bob Ehrlich's lovers. Take care.
Thank you so much,
Baba.
410-319-8888. Let's talk about how – I'm going to ask some substantive questions before we have to go to break, but how do folks get there? How all three of you getting people to this – to Washington, D.C.? What are you expecting?
Well, if folks would call 410-318-6190, you will be provided with free transportation. You must, however, call by the close of business on Wednesday to be assured a seat on the bus. Again, that number is 410-318-6190. And we have buses leaving from different locations in the city as well as Columbia.
Morgan?
Specifically, yeah. There are two buses leaving from the Equality Maryland office with an aim of turning out folks from the LGBT community. And we're down on Sharp Street. Got two buses leaving from there, 8 a.m. Folks can call 410-685-6567 if they want to reserve a spot on the bus, or they can certainly call the general number as well. We want to get folks from the community down there.
So give that number again, Morgan.
410-685-6567 is the Equality Maryland office. We'd be happy to get folks from the community, the LGBT community out there, standing strong.
All right, great. We'll put those on the website. And Joe Stansbury.
Yeah, we have buses all over the county, so I will give you the number 410-533-7302. 410-533-7302. And that's all over the state of Maryland. From every county, there will be some buses leaving from that area. So just give us a call and we'll set you up.
That's the NAACP number that they can call?
Yes, yes.
And so what do you expect is going to happen? Do you think this is in terms of turnout?
Well, we have hundreds of buses leaving from Baltimore.
Hundreds.
Should
we say that again?
Hundreds. literally hundreds. Uh-huh. We actually have, at this point, 64 buses from the Maryland State and D.C. AFL-CIO. Some of our other individual unions, they have dozens of buses, and as well as some other community organizations have buses. We are hoping that between Maryland and the District of Columbia to actually mobilize about 50,000 people from our jurisdiction.
What, from your perspective, again, this national march would be a success or failure when it comes to numbers?
Well, certainly have to be bigger than the August 28th march in terms of numbers. Maybe I shouldn't have said that, but
that's right. Give me honest.
Yeah, I'm being honest. That's what I believe. And however, I think that the numbers will be far greater than that. You know, I talked to my fellow state Fed presidents from Florida and South Carolina, and they're going out into the community, raising money to send 2, 3, 4 buses up from Florida, about 5 or 6 from South Carolina. So people are really energized by this. People are flying in because they want to be a part of this from as far away as California. Unfortunately, I missed the 1963 march. But
I was there.
You were there.
I was there.
See, but then memory, and you read about it, and you say, wow, if only I think I was in 11th grade in high school.
Yeah, so,
I have the chance. So I have this chance of being part of something that is great and historic and is dedicated to moving this country forward. And I don't want to miss that for the world. So I'm encouraging people that if you have a Boy Scouts or Girl Scouts troop, hey, organize it, make it a lesson in civics. Mm-hmm. If you have a ministry in the church, a youth ministry in church, organize it, make it a lesson in civics. And everybody will appreciate this.
So the number for the AFL-CIO buses is 410-318-6190.
That's right? Correct.
And the number for buses for Equality Maryland, 410-685-6567. Is that right, Morgan?
Yes, it is.
And for the NAACP, 510-533. Can't read my own writing.
That's all right.
410-533-7302, and we'll put those numbers on our website. And I want to thank all three of you. See you Saturday.
Great. And we really thank you for having us on.
Yes, indeed.
Well, this is great. We'll see you Saturday, and we'll bring you up on stage and talk to you on the air.
All right. Thank you.
Morgan, good to talk to you again.
Oh, absolutely. Take care.
All right. Thank you all for being here. I'll remind you on the way to break here that WEAA is looking for area restaurants and caterers to provide an in-kind food donation to feed our volunteers for our upcoming fall membership drive. By providing an in-kind donation, you have the opportunity to make a unique contribution to WEAA, and we'll be happy to acknowledge your businesses on the air during the fall drive for feeding our hungry volunteers. For more information, please call 443-885-2075. That's 443-885-2075. We're looking forward to your food to help our volunteers out. Stay with us.